ultimately, if I don't solve a problem for you within your business, it doesn't make sense for us to be having that conversation at that point in time.
What is going on? You are listening to the Humans That Game podcast. I am your host, Quentin Allums. I also go by Q. First, straight out of the bat, I just wanted to apologize for my lack of posting here. I am 1,000% committed to this podcast and the growth of this podcast and all of you listeners that are listening and tuning in because, one, you allow me to just talk about something that I love, you know, and pursue my dreams, you know, which is just super, I'm super humbled by and super thankful for. So I just wanted to apologize for that. I've just been bogged down creatively. One, by everything going on in the world. And when I say bogged down, not even really in a bad way. You know, I've got so much going on. There's esports ventures that I want to pursue. There's other business ventures that I'm curious about. I've got my business currently that I am running that where I'm managing the pivot. You know, we're moving around the things, taking care of my team. I'm Twitch streaming now, you know, and I've been having a lot of fun with that. I moved to PC from console, you know, and it's just a big switch in creating content around that now. And just 3D modeling again, all these things that I'm curious about. I hopped on this read a book every single day for 30-day challenge. I'm not up to date on it. I've only read about 7 and it's been like 14 days, but nonetheless, it's been a lot of fun. So I'm doing a lot creatively, planning out films that I want to create when everything settles down again, but just bogged down creatively. And I just want to say that I am 1,000% committed to this podcast. You know, I've got so many episodes backlogged, and I finally just outsourced all of the editing. So my videographer, Ken, will be taking on this podcast as well, which will allow me to just record and have conversations, which is the part that I love anyway. So I will be back on track with these episodes, but I wanted to start with this one specifically because I did record it so long ago and there were some issues at the end. He kind of tailed off just because of connection issues, but it was still a good episode, you know, regardless. And that's just the reason why I didn't upload it before, because I didn't want to edit it, but it was really good conversation. I know a lot of you will find value out of it. And like, there's just, I know these are very dark times, very, very dark times from a business perspective, from a personal perspective for a lot of us, you know, and I know that, and I hope that we'll come out of this better just from an esports realm. You know, it's cool to see like video games be embraced. You know, it's cool to see like Twitch being up 31% in viewership this past month. You know, it's cool to see like the NBA and Formula One and all these organizations like hop on video games, hop on tournaments, like these athletes giving to charity, you know, through video games. You know, it's just, it's really, really cool to see the changes. And I know there's going to be a lot of changes within esports and the regular world too. You know, I think this is going to set us up well for things like virtual reality on a mass scale, you know, augmented reality, artificial intelligence, Internet of Things, autonomous cars, like just set us up. It's going to make us rethink things. Like, why are we going into this office 9 to 5? You know, like, why are you paying 30 grand for this office space? Like, just things like that. Like, there's not going to be this weird stigma around working from home. No, youth and parents are going to rethink the validity of college. You know, is this actually worth it for where I want to go? So I think there's going to be a lot of good things that do come out of this dark time. So I know that's a weird rant. I know that's totally not relevant to esports, but just something that's been on my mind. And like I said, just wanted to apologize for the lack of posting here. I am I'm back on it. And I probably said that every single episode thus far, but I am officially back on it. And Ken will be editing these episodes and I can just focus on the conversations and meeting people and reaching out to people. But just wanted to say thank you. Thank you for listening to my rants. Thank you for listening to these conversations. Thank you for your love in esports, because this is totally an industry that is going to freaking boom. And I think even more so with everything that's going on now. So if you could leave us a review on iTunes, that would be wicked. That allows us, and when I say us, me and my videographer and editor Ken, but mostly me, just to pursue, you know, my passions and things that I love and talk about video games and esports and talk to people in video games and esports. So thank you so much, and I hope you enjoy this episode as much as I did recording it. I would love if you give us an intro. You tell us what it is that you guys are working on, because I'm not entirely sure. I did research, but you're new in the space, so I'd love to just hear it from your perspective.
No worries. So I joined the organization Midwest Esports here last, I don't know, in December, so a month and a half ago. We're an organization based out of Wichita, Kansas. We were founded in 2016 by our CEO, Ramsey Jamul. So Ramsey was instrumental in starting up the Wichita State University Esports Club. When he graduated from university, he decided he kind of wanted to make a full go of it and created Midwest Esports. So what Midwest Esports is we're a national tournament operator, esports tournament operator, with a focus on the Midwest or upper Midwest. So we'll do 100 events in 2020, and total attendance across those events will be over 600,000 attendees. What that means, and we call them festivals instead of tournaments, is that we will host a live event where competitive players from the local ecosystem, everything from, you know, high school all the way up to collegiate and semi-professional players, will come out and compete in the game or games of their choice. So, you know, when you think of traditional field sports, everyone plays football, right? If you go to the football game, if you go to the basketball game, everyone plays basketball. Well, in esports, there's 25 roughly competitive titles or tournaments that we run. There's more in the ecosystem, and it's always changing the hierarchy, right? You know, Fortnite didn't exist, 3 years ago? And now is, you know, has a $3 million prize pool, right? So at each one of these events, we'll host anywhere from 15 to 25 tournaments. That's everything from League of Legends to Overwatch, you know, which are your PC games, to console street fighting games, like Street Fighter, Tekken 7, Super Smash Brothers. We do the sports games. So we'll do Madden, NBA 2K, FIFA, across those. So at each one of these events, we bring in, you know, partners and vendors, kind of celebrating the gamer lifestyle. But really, it's a competitive ecosystem that we're building across the Midwest. So on top of that, we do contract services. So we are a turnkey provider for other events that may want an esports presence. So, you know, we partner with Comic-Cons, you know, we partner with local, like big, you know, community festivals. Like, so here in Wichita, we do Riverfest and handle that. So we'll handle, you know, the logistics, we'll ship out all the equipment, we do all the setup, we do all the teardown, we do all the staffing, and then we handle all of the registration through our own website. So,
love it. For only being a month in, that was very impressive.
I know that wasn't very brief, but.
No, man, I'm serious. Like, only being a month in, that's pretty impressive. I don't think I can sell my own company a month in that well. So that's pretty impressive.
So yeah, it's we've got a lot going on over here. Like I said, I mean, our operations are multiple brands. You know, we've acquired two companies in the last 3 months. You know, we span everything from, you know, K-8 education, partnering with, you know, community organizations to help kids kind of understand what it means to be involved in the competitive gaming space. You know, everything from streaming, you know, setups to ethics online and, you know, the different, you know, avenues your professional life could take through high school. So we hold high school championships here in the state of Kansas to open tournaments to collegiate. So we've even got our own Midwestern Esports Collegiate Conference that has 8 teams here in it, including Wichita State, the University of Missouri, Emporia State, Drury. Are just 4 of those teams that participate. So, you know, we kind of run the gauntlet all the way up until you get to that professional level. That is where that's where our operations stop.
That's impressive, man. And what markets are you in right now?
Yeah, so we are, we're coast to coast. So my team did 43 events last year. You know, just this month, we've already been in New Orleans and Portland, Oregon, and we'll be in Wichita February 1st and 2nd. But we're developing a city circuit where we're really going to put focus. We're going to have at least 3 events in all of these major metropolitan areas this year. So Wichita, Kansas, Kansas City, St. Louis, Omaha, Nebraska, Des Moines, Iowa, Minneapolis, Minnesota, Chicago, Illinois, Indianapolis, Indiana, Cleveland, Columbus, and Cincinnati, Ohio, along with Austin, Texas. So those are kind of the expansion cities, I guess you say, where we're really trying to develop more than just a one-off event. You know, there's other tournament operators and providers within the ecosystem that they can come in and they can throw that one, you know, one big event. But we really want to build, we want to build the community around, not only our brand, but also just around the esports community within those individual markets. So those are our target cities for 2020. And you'll be, if you pay attention to our website, you'll be seeing information come out as we finalize those tournaments here in the next, 30 days.
It's impressive, man. Let me know if you ever get down to Milwaukee. I'm pretty close to Chicago and Madison as well, but let me know if you're ever in Milwaukee.
So I left Milwaukee out of there because I do this because the cities but Milwaukee's on our list as well. So actually when I reached out to Jamie, Jamie reached out to me in this big group chat that we have, and she was like, "Hey, you need to get connected with Quentin." I was like, "Yeah, actually I do, because Milwaukee is also on our target city." So hopefully we'll get a face-to-face sometime here in the next 12 months.
Yeah, dude, let's make it happen. Talk to me a bit about you. How did you and why did you make that shift from doing what you were doing before in partnerships and sales to, okay, I'm going to go and do this for esports now?
Yeah. I've been in sales for 7 years now. I've got kind of a mixed match story before I got into the sales. I went to college, thought I was going to go to law school. Just never got on board, didn't fall in love with it. I started my own businesses, failed those as a young kid, tried to, learn my lessons the hard way, so to speak. I got into sales 7 years ago and just fell in love with the process. I think a lot of people look at sales and it comes with this negative connotation because they don't realize that at the end of the day, I'm trying to improve the lives of our customers, right? Whatever that may be. Ultimately, if I don't solve a problem for you within your business, it doesn't make sense for us to be having that conversation at that point in time. So when I took some time off, at the beginning or the end of last year, I was approached by our CEO Ramsey, and just wanted to hear, from him what all he was doing. Kind of like we talked about earlier, esports is a big, big community, and it's a big, big buzzword. But finding out what he directly was doing and how he was impacting that ecosystem is really what drove me to sign the dotted line, so to speak. We'll talk about this later. I'm not personally a huge gamer. However, the way the ecosystem is moving, I think that the generation that comes, I've got a 10-year-old. And a 4-year-old, the generation that comes after me, the generation of kids like I'm raising right now, this is going to be at the same level as the way we view the NFL, the NBA, the MLB. It's the way in which the world is moving as we continue to exist and kind of enter into the digital space, which crazy enough wasn't really around even 20 years ago. This is the way that. The next generation is interacting with one another. And I just think it's really exciting to be a part of that. We all want to be a part of something bigger than ourselves. And the way in which this company has presented themselves and then the growth trajectory that they're on, it just gives me a great entry point into the industry. It's also pretty cool to go home and have my 10-year-old geek out over the things that I get to do at work on a day-to-day basis. The brands that we're talking to and the people that are interested, while I would say that there's still a lot of work to be done in terms of brand activation within the space, people are excited about esports. They are super interested in not only the industry overall, but just how can they get involved? It's pretty easy from the mainstream attention, to see the growth trajectory that esports are on. And brands are starting to realize that is a place in which you're going to be able to grab the attention of that next generation. At the end of the day, marketing is about eyeballs, right? We can all argue about the best percentages, and that the best ROI for your marketing dollars. But at the end of the day, the more eyeballs that are on your brand, the better chance you have to sell whatever it is to that consumer. And you know, with esports, it's got twofold. The live events are going to be huge events, but on top of that, you've got all the digital streaming and everything else that goes along with that. You know, I think it's the record's like 189,000 concurrent viewers for one streamer. You know, it's hard to find. It's hard for brands to find that kind of engagement in today's fractured ecosystem.
Yeah. Talk to me about the brand side and the partnership side. Like, what are those partnerships actually look like? What are they getting? I had a, one of my co-founders was, I think he did like corporate partnerships or something like that for like this big sports conglomerate. He worked with a lot of other sports teams as well. But a lot of that there was like, hey, like we're going to put your name on the, on this panel, or we're going to throw you up on a billboard, or you'll get this slot. Like, what does that actually look like for you guys?
Yeah, so it's a really similar model, which is why you see a lot of the guys who own traditional sports field sports franchises investing into the esports ecosystem. So it's a lot about brand partnerships, right? The same kind of signing signage, the same type of, you know, banners above the stage. We do a lot of, like, you know, we take it all the way down to the trophy level. So the trophies that we present for particular games are branded with that individual. So a lot of traditional, you know, marketing, I guess you would say, that goes along with event sponsorship, you know, digital impressions, you know, thank yous, broadcasters call out, you know, the sponsors within, you know, within their cast, you know, those types of things. But I think it goes a level deeper than that. And that's the activation level within these events and organizations. So like if you go to, for instance, a Kansas City Chiefs football game, you're there for the hour and a half that the Chiefs play football. Yeah, you can do some tailgating and there's some stuff and culture around it. There's not a whole lot of more brand activation. What people don't realize is that these festivals, you've kind of got the gaming that takes place, but you've also got the entire vendor ecosystem that exists as well. So we really try to work with brands to get our audience into those into their space. So, you know, the traditional setting up a booth and like putting out your marketing flyers, like that doesn't really go anywhere. It doesn't do anything for your brand. Whereas this activation that we can do, we do a lot of like free play areas. So we'll tie in, you know, a particular free play lounge for, you know, a game. So that may be, you know, a car company in Rocket League, or it may be, you know, someone in the outdoor sporting industry with Call of Duty. Right. So there's ways in which you can align the games and titles and the audience that goes along with those games and titles with the brand and do that in a holistic approach. It's really beneficial to both our audience and the brand itself.
And what does that look like for you? Like, let's say I'm a brand, I'm a bank or something like that, and I approach you guys like, hey, I'd love to tap into the younger generation and get them early or something like that. Is that like kind of like an a la carte thing where it's like, hey, yeah, we can put your name here? Or is it, I want to do an experience. Let's go brainstorm on that. Here's what we came up with. What does that look like?
So there's obviously, you know, we sell our traditional booth sponsorships, right? You know, hey, like, here's your standard 6-foot table. You do with it what you want. You know, that's kind of the cheapest entry point. Of course, there's brand recognition within the space itself. So, you know, registration table, lanyards, same kind of things, you know, any event sales person can offer you. But what we really try to do is collectively get behind whatever that particular company's marketing goals within the space is. So if that's, hey, we want, you know, if we want more accounts at our particular bank, if we want, you know, brand recognition, if we're looking for, you know, app downloads or sales. So we really try to manufacture that experience around not only what the brand is looking for, but also what we know our audience is going to engage with. I think there's a lot to be done still from a creative perspective. I think industry-wide brand activation within the space is still lacking. I think it's a completely different demographic and industry than anything you've done before. Yeah. And so applying the old models for brand activation isn't going to work. Like, we really have to, we really have to think creatively with our organizations on how to activate. Of course, you know, it, whatever metrics, you know, that, that organization is most focused on, we try to build that into our proposals so that we can effectuate, you know, a real world, quote unquote, return or ROI to that consumer, you know, we are to that brand. We're trying to build long-term partnerships. We're not trying to build one-off event sponsorships, especially at this point in our growth spurt, like pattern. Yeah. So, you know, we partner with organizations that have kind of a wider scope than just like your local, you know, your local businesses. So, you know, kind of the way we price that out and the way we model that is based on one, the number of events, and two, the total number of attendees at those events. So kind of, if you can, you know, if you can picture a matrix, that's kind of how we guide our brand. So, you know, you may only be interested in, you know, what we do in the state of Wisconsin. You may be only interested in what we do in the upper Midwest. You may be only interested in everything we do outside of the state of Kansas. So there's ways that we can piece and package those together while still maintaining kind of a consistent brand yeah. across our entire ecosystem.
No, I love that. And what would you, I guess two questions here, but one, what kind of companies, what kind of brands are coming to you now? And then how does a brand know if esports is a good play for them?
Yeah. So there's, I would say there's really two companies that, that really we align really well with. And they're, what they're ultimately looking for is very different. So anything that's direct to consumer, right? So think yeah. of food brands, energy drinks, of course, anything within the gaming ecosystem. So hardware companies, you know, those are pretty obvious. But the other part of that is companies who are really interested in the demographic itself. So, I mean, most of our audience is 18 to 25. And just like in traditional field sports, only 2% of our gamers are going to be on, or 1% of our gamers are going to be going on to become a professional esports player. Yeah. So the other 99%, and I always say real world in quotes here because a professional gamer is a real world job, but they're going to go get traditional jobs, right? They're going to go be in marketing. They're going to go be in sales. They're going to go be in engineering or whatever. Well, the reality is that a lot of our demographic is STEM. So, you know, if they're PC gamers, they're building their own PCs, you know, they understand that digital connection. And so we're seeing a lot of tech companies and companies that are focused on that pipeline of tech talent coming in for brand awareness and ultimately recruiting efforts. You know, a lot of our demographic is going to go on to graduate from college with a, you know, with a 4-year degree or not. But they're going to have the technical skills that align with a lot of the jobs that are available, you know, in America today. And so they're really focused on trying to build that brand young, so that when they get into the workforce, they're looking for that first real world job, quote unquote, that they're aware. Back from my HR days, it's really interesting. The generation, I guess you'd say Gen Z, has kind of flipped the model in terms of how they look at companies. So for me, I'm a sales guy. I look for sales jobs first, and then I look for a company that I want to go work for. The younger generation has flipped that model. They look at companies they want to go work for based on their ethos, based on their partnerships, based on, you know, their overall mission statement, and then they figure out what job they can hold within that organization. And so understanding that is very important to these, you know, to our larger technical partners, because they're trying to build a positive image with that younger demographic before they get to the point where they're applying for that job.
Yeah, it's so fascinating, man. A lot of things that I wouldn't think about. I love that. You mentioned something in there, and you mentioned something earlier just about you not being a gamer. Yeah. How important do you think it is for other non-gamers who start paying attention to esports, if you do think it's important at all?
No, so I think it's important for two aspects. One, I think it's important that the business community pays attention to what's going on in the esports world, just as an overall industry. But I also think it's important for the industry to develop into what you would consider more mainstream, right? Not everyone who works for the Kansas City Chiefs organization is a National League football player, right? They've got people in operations. They've got people in events. There's an entire ecosystem that gets built around that spectacular that is, that is NFL football. And the same thing can be said about this industry. It allows unique and different perspectives. But at the same time, I think it's important that you have some sort of passion for it, right? Like if you've never played a video game before, it's going to be kind of hard for you to understand the culture and the dialogue and everything that goes along with it. For me, you know, I grew up in kind of the first iteration of the Xbox. So like, you know, we played Halo LAN tournaments, and by Halo LAN tournaments, I mean, you know, I would convince my mom to let me have 12 friends over, and we would set up on three TVs and we'd run Ethernet cord, you know, 50 feet apart, and we'd shoot each other in Halo, right? This was before, you know, kind of gaming online together even really existed. Just as I've gotten older, like it's just not one of, you know, it's not one of my hobbies. But what's cool for me is that my 10-year-old's super into it. So it allows me to interact with my 10-year-old in a way that's really important to him. You know, just the other day he came and he was like, "Hey, I can't wait to show you this creative map on Minecraft that I, you know, that I worked through with my buddy." Right. And so it's a way for me to interact and have that, you know, kind of the same way your dad threw the football with you, you know, in the front yard. It's the same thing with video games. So while I'm not talented by any stretch of the imagination, you won't be finding me on any of our competitive gaming tournaments, and definitely won't be finding me on any professional teams anytime soon. I think it's a hobby that most people are like scared of, especially if you've never been in it. But I mean, just pick up a game controller and start playing with your kids. Like they're going to love that experience. And that's a memory that they're going to be able to hold, as they grow up.
I love that you have that perspective, because I talk to so many parents and they're like, "Get off the fucking game, stop playing games, go play outside." That's what we did when we were kids, you know? Yeah. But if you think about it, like you were saying, like the ecosystem that's going to be created around all of this, right? Like one, like games are a gateway for a lot of kids to get into code, to get into technical jobs, you know? Like that's the world they're going to live in. Everyone's obsessed with like TikTok and LinkedIn right now, but if you look at the future and social media, it's probably going to look like something like Ready Player One or Fortnite, you know? Yeah. So by playing these games, they're setting themselves up better for the future. And I wish more parents and just more people in general would actually take that seriously. But I love what you said there. Go ahead.
Sorry to cut you off, but I think it's really important for parents to realize too that like it's not just your kid sitting in front of a TV screen playing video games by himself. Like, yes, like that is what I guess, you know, the Atari and Nintendo and like even the GameCube, right? And Sega Genesis, like that's what that was. And you played with your friend that came over from down the street. But nowadays, like my kid is so excited to get home from school and play Fortnite because all of his friends have been talking about how they're going to game together. So they all get online. They've all got their headset. They've all got their comms, right? And they get online and they talk. And it's not just about talking about the game, right? I mean, I do this with my friends too. Like we talk about other aspects of our lives. We joke around about things. Like, yes, we're interacting on the game, but there's a social dynamic and component to it that people just they don't realize. And I think one of the things that we can do as an industry, and especially with these live events, is show parents, like show kids and parents like that interaction. Because they see like, okay, this is the same as a traditional team sport, right? Like they're developing leadership skills, they're developing communication, they know how to work together. Like there's ways that you're developing your child in ways that are not just like sitting in front of that gate, like sitting in front of that screen.
1,000%, man. Like people would probably laugh at me for this, but we are hiring a new videographer for our company full time, and we've got this buddy that's just one of the most amazing videographers that you'll ever see. Like, just incredibly talented dude, working this job that he somewhat likes, you know. But he's looking to get more into the creative field, and we shoot him a text. We're like, "Yo, you want to get out of your job?" He's like, "Yeah, what's up?" He said, "We're hiring. Meet us on Apex." And we interviewed him on Apex while we were playing this game. You know, like. Awesome. It's legit, you know. It's not just all about the video games. And even when I was a kid, I would play these MMOs and I would have friends. I had an entire life. I once had a business in a video game, you know. Yep. So there's a lot of things that you can learn in a gaming world. It's not so much IRL and online, you know. It's all life.
Well, and that's what it, I mean, I think as we look, you know, kind of forward, the you know, that schism, I guess you would say, between in real life and online is very much becoming all the same, right? Like we live our lives online now. And so people from the older generation have to realize that that's the way the world is moving. And there's a lot of unique and new experiences that are going to be developed out of that, you know, out of that. For instance, one of the things you can see is that the way the younger generation is spending their money is not so much on, you know, on physical property, so to speak, a material good, but it's on those experiential, experiential items. So whether that be vacations or whatever, but it's so that they can go and talk about it to each other, even online, but in real life as well. You know, hey, I went to this really cool event last week. You should check it out next year. Or, you know, these are the things that I learned. These are the things that I did. And I think it's a changing of the guard, so to speak. We're rapidly approaching where, you know, the 35 and under demographic is becoming the largest demographic in America. And you've got to understand that the world that they grew up in is not the world, same world that we grew up in. Even as a 30-year-old, it's definitely not the world that, you know, a 45 or 50-year-old grew up in. So,
yeah. No, absolutely. And last thing that I really want to get your perspective on, for my sake and for the listener's sake, I know that you're new to the esports industry, and I know that you're having to build your network. We talked a little bit about it before we hit record, but could you just tell me, like, what's your process for that? Like, how are you meeting new people? How are you getting plugged in with these brands, with these teams, with people just involved in esports now?
Yeah. So, as we talked, and as I know you are too, Quentin, I'm a huge LinkedIn guy. So I've got a LinkedIn Sales Navigator profile. I've got a saved search that's just esports, with a target demographic within. You know, there's a couple more filters on there that I look for. You know, when I start my day, I kind of go through there. I look. I also look for people who are producing content, just for educational material. Ways that, you know, I can interact with them and start to kind of build my own brand. The other thing I think is really important is getting offline, right? So that's going to conferences, that's going to, our events and other people's events. Like, you know, you're going to the Call of Duty League launch this weekend. I really am jealous and wish I was there because it's a great opportunity, to get to know the players in the ecosystem. I'm a firm believer that you should be a lifelong learner. At the point which you stop learning, I think life kind of ends, so to speak. Not so dramatically, not literally, but it's just, for me, you can always be educating yourself. And one of the things I think you can do as a professional to kind of differentiate yourself is always be willing to learn and reach out. So, you know, I connect with people who maybe above me at quote unquote, in, you know, kind of the partnerships ecosystem. I'm trying to connect with guys who are running partnerships for some of the largest, you know, brands in the world, like Blizzard and Riot, guys who are selling, you know, the brand sponsorships for the, you know, the professional leagues and the international tournaments, so that I can learn, you know, from them, from the content that they put out. But also just players in the space. So that's other event providers, people in the media side. People like you, Quentin, that are running podcasts on esports. I try to listen to a couple podcasts in terms of the esports, and just overall try to gather as much information as I can, because you never know what that may spark in terms of ideas, and you never know what kind of connections you can make by engaging with that content online.
I love that, dude. Totally agree, man. It's very similar for me, man. Just talk to a lot of people, learn a lot of shit. But appreciate you coming on, man. Lastly, where can people learn more? Where can people keep up with you?
Yeah, so you can find me on LinkedIn, Taylor Stevenson, Midwest Esports.
Like I said in the intro, we kind of tailed off at the end there, but I just wanted to say thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Humans at Game podcast. I will see you next week.